Just some of the major points that we've gone through in the book of Joshua so far. In the first chapter, the second verse, God told Joshua to get the people ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that he was about to give them. And that's a fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham generations before. He told them, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. And now here is Joshua about to lead the people across the river and take the land. God is faithful. Even when we do not understand his schedule or his methods, we know that we can rely on God's faithfulness. It never ceases. God told Joshua, I will give you all the land. Everywhere you set your foot will be yours. No one will be able to stand against you because I will go before you. And now you, Joshua, be strong and courageous. In chapter 2, we have the story of Rahab the harlot in Jericho. And we see again how God was providing for them, for the nation of Israel. He chose a harlot through whom to work. And she confessed that Yahweh is the real God, and she vowed her allegiance to God. She entered into salvation with Israel at Jericho and into the lineage of our Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Do not underestimate what God can and will do. Chapter 3 begins the river crossing, and God told Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. You see, Joshua would have to rely on God's delivery of the power. And the word says, when we humble ourselves and we exalt the Lord, he will lift us up as we need. In chapter 3, verse 8, it says, tell the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river, the flooding river. God told these priests to carry the big, heavy, precious, holy, gold-covered box into a flooding river and stand there. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you. And then he listed all the ites, all those pagan people over there that were already living in the land. And all the folks of Israel, millions of them, we believe, were told, watch the Ark of the Covenant and follow it. Just watch what God is doing and follow him. You're going to cross the river. You're going to take the land. Verse 17 in chapter 3 talks about the priests who were doing exactly what God told them, and they went and stood in the middle of the riverbed, but the water did not stop flowing until they put their feet in the water. And then it stopped. It tells us that the water stood upstream by a town called Adam. And the historians tell us that was about 18 miles north. And then the priest stood in the riverbed, stood firmly until every person in the nation walked across with their livestock and everything. And last week we read in the beginning of chapter 4 how the priests were obedient and stood there firmly. We also read last week about the memorial stones. And thank you, Marcia, for that good object lesson. And she does that so well. And that's that's exactly what Deuteronomy 6 tells us to do. As you walk along the road, as you go along with your children, explain who I am. Use the things that are obvious and explain. But that's another sermon. Thank you, Marcia. We read about those memorial stones last week and how God told Joshua to build that memorial with 12 river stones to remind the generations of his marvelous provision, miraculous provision there at the Jordan River. And then further into chapter 4, we are reminded about the fighting men from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. 40,000 men crossed ahead of all the other tribes. They crossed ready for battle. They had promised Moses that they would do so after he gave them land on the east side of the river. You see, their home was actually east of the river. But Moses told them, you have to go ahead with the other tribes and cross the river and help them take the land. And they were there faithfully doing what they said they would do. They left their women and children and livestock on the other side of the river to go and fight if need be. And they crossed ready. You see, God made big promises and he had big plans. He has big plans and he's faithful. The people at every level of the nation that day needed to remain faithful and obedient. Joshua, the tribal commanders, the priests, the fighting men, every man, woman, and child in the nation needed to watch what God was doing and follow him. You see, the best way to enjoy God's provision is to follow him obediently, to be faithful to him. Now let's read some more in chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 10. Joshua 4, verse 10, it says, now the priest who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed the ark of the Lord and the priest came to the other side while the people watched, the men of Reuben, Gad, and half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant law to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up out of the Jordan. And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. Do you understand what was going on with those priests and the ark? The water did not dry up till they put their feet in the water. And as soon as they stepped out, the water came flowing, flooding back down. They had stood firm until everything the Lord commanded was done. They finished the task. They stood firm. They did not give up. Surely they must have wondered, What's going to happen to us if the river comes down while we're standing here? Maybe they even had conversation while all the nation was crossing. We're in big trouble if this river comes down while we're standing here. There's no way we can carry this big old heavy box through a flooding river. And if we let go of it, or even if we touch it, God will kill us. Stand. Obey. Watch for what God's doing. And when he says move, move. And I enjoy that image of the 40,000 fighting men. I told Tim this week, that's the group I think I'd have wanted to be in. You know, let's go first. Let's make something happen, you know. They're going ready for battle. Whatever weapons they had were sharpened and ready. They were mentally prepared. They were strong. But on the other side of the river, there's all those ites. And they were fierce, strong people. But these men did what they said they would do. They did what they were commanded to do. And they went ready. And because they went, the other 9.5 tribes or 10 and a half, whatever the math is there, the rest of them could take care of their families and possessions as they crossed the river. And Joshua, that day, was indeed exalted by the Lord. The people saw that God was, the Spirit of God and the power of God was on Joshua, just like it had been Moses. And it is very important that Joshua did not exalt himself, did not lift himself above the people, because that was the very sin that kept Moses from going into the promised land. And one event in particular, Moses was told to command water to come from a rock. He had done that before, and God had told him to strike the rock with his staff. But the second time, God didn't tell him to strike the rock with his staff, and he did. And apparently he did it to display his own power. And God said, well, if you're going to be that way, you're not going to go live in the promised land. So it was important that Joshua not exalt himself. Just remain humble. Exalt the Lord. He will lift us up as we need it. And that's what he did. He lifted up Joshua in front of the people that day. And did you notice? I know you did, because I pointed it out, that the river stopped flowing again as soon as everyone crossed, but only when the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stepped out of the riverbed. It had stopped flowing when they stepped in, and it only started again when they stepped out. I think you can only conclude about this that God was at work to save his people. He was providing and protecting his people. It was indeed an act of salvation through water. Does that ring a bell? We read verses 19 through 24 last week, but it's good. Let's read it again. We're going to finish the chapter here. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua sent up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they had taken up out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. Verse 24 is key. He did this so that all the peoples of earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Those two factors in verse 24 are important. I'm doing this so that the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. The nations will know that I am powerful. And then he said, secondly, I want you never to forget. I want you always to fear the Lord your God. And remember that fear in this context means to revere. It means to maintain a deep respect and awe of the Lord, so deep that you want to follow him perfectly. And look at the first verse of chapter 5. Because I want you to see that, because it tells us about the results. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Isn't that cool? It just answers the previous verse. You see, God knows what he's doing. And he finishes what he starts. He didn't leave them halfway in the river. He didn't say, well, I'm gonna stop the water for a while. You guys are on your own. He finishes what he starts, and we need to follow him faithfully. Now we learn obedience and faithfulness in the mundane daily life, in the small things. Most of us will not see a physical miracle as huge as the whole nation crossing a flooding river on dry ground. Most of us are just not going to get that experience. But nonetheless, we need to learn faithful obedience. It is the way to enjoying God's favor. Now listen, I've said it many times, and I think you know, we do not earn God's grace. We do not deserve His mercy. But if we want to live in the path of His blessing, we need to follow Him. We need to obey Him. He wants to bless us. And this is not just a history lesson about ancient Israel. It's a fun one, even if it was all, if it was just that. But it's more than that. This is meant to inform our faith and our practice. And just to be sure you don't write it off as some irrelevant Old Testament story, let me show you a couple of places in the New Testament that I think help us understand this morning. First of all, in Philippians. That's way over to the right if you're in a printed book. In the letters of Paul. In the book of Philippians in chapter 1, Paul has some really positive things to say to the Christians in Philippi. In the very beginning there, in the introduction, I'm going to pick up in verse 3, Philippians 1, 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And that's what I want you to see there in verse 6. God, who has begun a good work in you, will carry this work on toward completion until the day Jesus returns for the church. He's going to keep working on his church until he comes for his bride. He finishes what he starts. And so should we. We need to remain faithful. Now, there are times to surrender. There are times to have retreat. But when we're going God's way, engaged in His mission, we need to stand firm and we need to finish the task. Have faith in God. He will finish the good work in you if you cooperate, if you let Him. And I want you to see a verse from Peter, just a different testimony. Over in 1 Peter, keep going toward the right, toward the end of the letter. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 6. Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, and under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." You see what he's saying there? You humble yourself, God will lift you up. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We need to exalt the Lord. We need to lift His name. Not ourselves. We don't need to promote ourselves. Be humble and God will lift us up. Be alert. Be sober-minded. He did not say to worry or be paranoid. In fact, he said, cast your anxiety upon the Lord. But be alert. Think clearly. Don't fog your brain with stuff. Because the devil is prowling around and looking for someone to steal away. That's who he is. It's what he's doing. Be alert. Stand firm. Be faithful. Obey what the Lord has commanded us. Because he is faithful. God is faithful. And we need to follow him faithfully. Got it? It's not complicated. Sometimes it's hard. I want the music team to come, please.